Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This morning, I'm going to be talking from the subject of spiritual discernment and working from the title, Spiritual Discernment Effects. I keep getting the word accepts in my head. Spiritual discernment effects and how that affects our life, how that affects our direction, how if we are living in spiritual discernment, it keeps us on course with the purposes of God. And we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, continuing our series in Corinthians. And so if you want to turn there in your Bibles right now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you don't have your Bible this morning, you can just look on with us on the screen. But let's read it right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. This is Paul writing the Corinthian church, and he's saying, do bear with me. Meaning, I wish I was writing you a book like Ephesians just to encourage you right now, but since my credibility is in question and I'm defending my ministry, we'll have to talk about this. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from your sincere devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or you receive a different spirit than the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. I consider that I'm not the least inferior to these super apostles. These are the false teachers who have come in, the people who are trying to disrupt the church in Corinth. Even if I'm unskilled in speaking, I'm not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way, I've made this plain to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. He didn't literally rob other churches. That's sarcasm. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? No. God knows I do. And what I do, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. This morning, we're talking about spiritual discernment. And so we're all on the same page. When we're talking about discernment, put a definition on the screen. We're talking about the act or process of exhibiting keen insight and good judgment. Insight, the ability to see into things, to see what's happening under the surface. So literally, when we're talking about spiritual discernment, we're taking that to a whole nother level and saying, you have spiritual insight so you can make good spiritual judgments. And really, that is the key for us not being deceived as believers, for us staying on course. You know, it's important because oftentimes in life, there are things that are happening underneath the surface that we can't see. Every year, Beth, my wife, 9 years, my beautiful wife, and I travel up to the Detroit area. And that's because that's where her family's from. We go visit her family every year. And 5 years ago, she was 7 months pregnant with our oldest child, Evelyn. And we decided to travel up during the summer to Detroit. Now, I wanted to take my car. It was at the time, it was a 95 Toyota Camry. And she wanted to take her car, which it was a 2000 Grand Prix. And she told me the reason that she didn't want to take my car was, quote, because she had a bad feeling about it. Now, being young and inexperienced in my marriage, I didn't realize that that was code for if you proceed with this decision and it does not go well, I will ensure that you always remember and never forget this poor decision that you made. And any time that that comes into your memory, you'll instantly be filled with sorrow, regret, remorse, and sadness over the decision that you made. So I didn't know this. And so I said, babe, I'm the spiritual leader of our home. I am wiser than you. I am a pastor. And therefore, I obviously make better decisions than you do. Anyway, we start traveling down the road in my 95 Toyota Camry, and we're not even 1 hour. Not even 1 hour down the road. And the car begins to struggle. You know, going up the hills, it just sounds like it's working a little extra hard. And so I, you know, I'm looking at the dash. You know, she had kind of said, even as we left the house, you know, I really just don't have a good feeling about taking this car. And you know, how many know, just as a side, as a footnote to the story, that wives are often the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives? So, yes, all the ladies said amen, okay? So we're going down the road, and the thing was, while the car was seeming to struggle, the gauges all looked good. And I'm continuing to assure that everything's going to be fine. But it gets to the point where we're going up a hill. I literally have the pedal to the floor, and the car is going like 25 miles an hour. Literally 25. We're not even an hour from our house. 25 miles an hour. And so I have to pull off onto the exit. And as we're pulling off to the exit, smoke begins to billow from the engine, and I have to pull off to the side of the road. Keep in mind, my wife has never broken down in her entire life. She's 7 months pregnant. It's like 1,000 degrees outside, and she begins bawling her eyes out on the side of the road. And I was like, man, I don't even know what to do with this right now. The thing is, if I had listened to my wife, had I known that the thermostat wasn't working on the engine, so the gauges were reading incorrectly and actually deceiving me. How did I know what was happening under the surface, that I was pushing the engine too hard, rendering it ineffective, and we wouldn't be able to continue our journey? I would have been able to make good judgments. Had I had insight into what was happening under the surface, I would have been able to make better decisions. But instead, 1 hour from our house, on our trip that was sidetracked, I ended up selling up my Toyota Camry for $300 and having to take a different vehicle. You know, it's a funny story, but it's a great picture of how spiritual discernment works in our lives. You know, spiritual discernment, you can think of it as almost the antidote to deceit working in our lives. It allows us to see what's happening under the surface. And in this passage that we're looking at in Corinth, Paul's saying something's happening under the surface and you need to see it. He shows us this by bookending the passage with two verses, both talking about the deception of the enemy and how it works in our lives. The first one says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve, bringing him back to the garden, the very beginning of the scripture, he's saying his ways haven't changed. As he deceived Eve with his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray. Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And then he says on the back end of the passage, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And so in this passage that's bookended with this thought of deception, that the enemy's wanting to use deception to take them off course. The enemy's wanting to use deception to make them think things are going all right, but really they're going the wrong direction. Paul's saying the antidote to this deception is having spiritual discernment. And so he's going to show them how spiritual discernment, if applied to their life, will affect them and keep them on course with the purposes of God. And discernment and deception are always working. If they're working at the same time, discernment becomes the antidote. Proverbs 14 says this. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving, meaning that deceptions is what gets fools off track, what puts them in the folly. Put it like this, the message says, the wisdom of the wise keeps their life on track, keeps them going a right direction, keeps them moving in the purposes of God. The foolishness of fools lands them in the ditch. It takes them off course. Paul says, I don't want you to get off course. I want you to realize there's something bigger here happening, something happening under the surface, and that if you lived your lives by spiritual discernment, you wouldn't get off course. So he gives them some keys for how spiritual discernment affects our life. First of all, spiritual discernment affects what we allow. He says this in verse 4. He says, if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. What are you putting up with? He's asking them, he's piquing that question. What are you putting up with? You're putting up with things that are damaging your life. You're accepting things that are damaging your life. In spiritual discernment, if you have that, it affects what you accept. You know, I've killed the third black widow, a third black widow, since we moved into our home. We haven't been there that long, friends. There's a lot of black widows around my house. And the first one was a little creepy, you know, but you also had like this intriguing, ooh, black widow, like really poisonous, like wonder how close I can get without being bit, you know, that kind of stuff. I actually killed it, and then I exhumed the body from the site of destruction, and I washed it off, and then I put it in a bowl by the sink so I could look at it, you know. It's because it's total weirdo thing to do, but I don't know. I was going to say guy thing, and all the guys would be like, no, it's not. You're weird. Anyway, so that's what I did. And then I throw it away because Beth, it is creepy. So the first one was kind of like that, interesting. And the second one, you're like, this is disturbing. Like, there are black widows around our house, and that's not good. And then when the third one, when I saw the third, three's a crowd when it comes to poisonous, venomous things in your world. And so the third one was actually by the toy box in the garage, like right by it. And I had nightmares after killing that one of Everett getting bit by a black widow. Like, you know, just, no, don't go to the toy box, no, that kind of thing. So anyway, it'd be as though, you know, if you think about it, think about this. If I saw that black widow and I said, you know, it's a black widow, it's probably not good, it's by the toy box, but it's fine. It's fine. I don't need to do anything about that. Like, I'll just put up with it. It's fine. And to think, if I were to tell you that, I saw a black widow by the toy box, and you're like, what'd you do? I was like, I didn't do anything. I just left it there. You'd say, that's not wise. That's not good. You know, but when we allow things into our life, toxic things to be proclaimed into our life, toxic things into our spirit, toxic things that we accept in us, it's not wise and it gets us off course. And that's what Paul's saying there. He gives us this progression. If someone proclaims another Jesus, if you receive a different spirit, or if you accept a different gospel, you know, what's proclaimed in your life today will be in your spirit tomorrow. What's in your spirit today, if left unchecked, will become part of who you are, part of what you accept about yourself tomorrow. So, therefore, it's super important what you allow, the voices that you allow, the things that you allow to be proclaimed into your life, because they'll become part of who you are tomorrow. You know, maybe you have a friend, and they tend to be a little bit negative. If you get close to them, if you allow them to be a voice in your world, if you allow them to be an influence on your life, their negativity today will be in your spirit tomorrow. That if you have somebody in your life that's a bit apathetic, that's a little bit, they just don't have much direction, their apathy will, in their mouth, their apathy that they're proclaiming will be in your spirit tomorrow. That person that's down on their spouse, they're negative towards their spouse, their negativity toward their spouse will be in your spirit tomorrow. You have to guard what you're allowing to be proclaimed to you, the message that's being inputted into your life, because whatever's being put in your life today, the message that's going in your life today will be in your spirit tomorrow. And what gets in your spirit will ultimately affect the direction of your life. That's why Proverbs chapter 4 says this. It says, guard, above all else, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the direction of your life. What gets in your heart will determine your direction. How do things get in your heart? It's the messages you allow to be proclaimed into your heart. The messages you allow yourself to listen to. They're affecting your direction. Now, I realize in a room this size with this many people that there are people who grew up in homes. They've been around people, not because of decisions that they made, but just by default, that preached the message into their life, that got into their spirit, and now it's affected their direction. And you're thinking, what do I do? Let me encourage you today that you can take control of what you allow to get in your spirit. Let me encourage you today to get in a life group. Let me encourage you to get around people that encourage you, to make tough decisions about who you're going to allow to speak into your life. Get the Word of God into you. Download as many podcasts as you can of sermons, preaching the Word of God into your heart. Listen to worship music. Read the Word and memorize the Word and get around encouraging people. And I promise you, 6 months from now, you'll find that stuff in your spirit. You'll find those encouraging words in your spirit. You'll find those things blocking out the negativity that used to be in your world. And a year from now, you'll find yourself on a different path. You'll say, there's things that are in me, things that are a part of who I am that were never a part of me because I made a decision that I'm not going to let the negative voices, the bitterness, the lies get in my spirit. I'm not going to be deceived by the enemy, but I'm going to have the voices speaking to my life, the Word of God speaking to my life that's going to make a difference in my direction, that you're going to have a different course, that you're going to have a different direction. Take control. A spiritual discernment. It allows, or it takes control of what you allow in your spirit, what you put up with. Say, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to allow that in my spirit. I'm not going to allow myself to live in that negativity. You know, take control of the people that are in your world and say, you know what? These people are great for encouraging them, for pointing them to Jesus, but they're not putting me on the direction that God has for me. They're taking me off course. And I'm not gonna allow that to happen anymore. I'm gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna get around people that push me towards the purposes of God because God has a plan for me and He's gonna accomplish it. But if I allow things to be proclaimed to me, they're gonna get in my spirit. They're gonna become part of who I am. You know, I think it's interesting. You know, it says you accept a different gospel. You know, at times as believers, if we get off course, we can start to be preaching a gospel to ourselves. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can start to be telling ourselves that, you know what, I have to work my way to God. I have to try harder. We can start to be telling ourselves, preaching a gospel that says, you know what, this relies on me. That God helps those who help themselves. But that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be careful what gospel you preach to yourself. That Jesus came to save, that because of Him, you have access to the Father. Because of Him, you have a destiny. Because of Him, your home is in heaven. Because of Him, greater is He that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Because of Him, He's going to do something and accomplish in your life that you could never imagine for yourself. Because of Him, you have a different direction. Start to preach the gospel to yourself. Allow that to be what's in your spirit, and it'll make a difference in your life. Spiritual discernment affects what we allow, but it also affects what we value. Paul continues on and he says this. He says, or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so you might be exalted because I preach God's gospel to you free of charge? What's happening here is Paul came to the Corinthians and he said, you know what? I'm going to love these people. I'm going to help these people. They need help. So I'm going to preach to them for free. I'm just going to bless them and take care of them. And what happened, it's a very affluent area. And they said, you know what? This guy, Paul, he preaches for free. He doesn't charge anything because he's not worth anything. And so when Paul begins to defend what he's doing and say, you know, there's a reason behind this and there's a reason I'm doing this and these people, they're getting you off course, but you need to listen to what I'm saying because I love you. Then they say, okay, we see what you're doing, Paul. You're not charging us, and now you're holding that over our head. Now you're not charging us so you can manipulate us, so you can control us. You know, the thing, when we're not walking in spiritual discernment, we're not walking with a spiritual understanding with godliness, It tends to turn everything on its head. It tends to turn everything upside down. You know, what's right becomes wrong. You know, directionally, basically, it's almost like what's left becomes right. And in this sense, that what is a good thing spiritually can become sin to us. Paul is not charging them because he loves them, because he wants to bless them. Somebody comes in your life, and you can't receive blessing because every blessing that somebody wants to give you, even if they love you, you see that as like, oh, I see what they're doing here. They're just trying to control me. They're blessing me so they can tell me what to do. Somebody comes to you with a godly rebuke, a godly challenge, and you go, oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, you know, this is just judgmental. I see how judgmental you're being. So, you know, somebody comes to you with a godly conviction and you see it as intolerant. Somebody comes to you with a faith-filled perspective. And you hear that faith-filled perspective, man, I just believe in God. And you see it as simplistic or ignorant. That when we're not walking in spiritual discernment, the good things that God would bring for us, the good things that a conviction that God would use to help us, a challenge that God would use somebody in our life to say, hey, the way you're going is not good. We turn that and it becomes sin to us. But spiritual discernment affects what we value. It helps us see value in spiritual things. It helps us see that how God's working. You know, when you talk about a rebuke or a challenge, you know, Proverbs says this. Proverbs says, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment. A godly rebuke, a godly challenge. More than 100 lashes a fool. When somebody lacks discernment, even if you come to them, it pushes them away. But a godly person says, no, I need this in my life. I need what you're saying. I want to take that on board. They value that spiritual thing. They value that spiritual rebuke. It affects what you value. More than 100 lashes a fool. And what's happening here is the Corinthians are saying, no, that's a tool of manipulation. That's a tool that you're trying to use against us, Paul. And Paul's like, that's not even the case at all. He writes, and why? Why am I not charging you? Is it because I don't love you? Is it because I'm trying to get up above you so I want to control you, I want to manipulate? No, God knows I love you. God knows I care about you. But when we're not walking in spiritual discernment, that lack can cause us to isolate ourselves from people who love us. Isolate ourselves from people who care about us. Because even a godly rebuke, it's uncomfortable at times. It can hurt. It can sting. But we know it's for our good. We know they love us. But when we're not going to listen to that, when we're going to say, you know what, I don't want that. I don't want your judgmental thoughts. I don't need that judgment in my life. It causes us to isolate ourselves and push us away from people that love us. Push us away. You know, Proverbs says this, that he who isolates himself, he seeks his own desire. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. But they rage against all wise judgment, that it's not wise, that there's not spiritual discernment there, that God has placed people in your life who love you to help you. Maybe you have somebody in your life and you're like, man, that is exactly what's going on here. That as I just love them and I just care about them, but it seems that they push away. And really, I would challenge you to pray for spiritual discernment in their life. Pray that the Lord will touch their heart, that they would value spiritual things. It affects what we value. It affects what we value. We value the word of God. We value people speaking in our lives. We value those who would push us closer to the Lord. Spiritual discernment affects what we allow. It affects what we value, and it affects what we see. Paul writes this, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." You know, it's interesting to me that when it comes to these people that were coming into the Corinthian church and deceiving the church, threatening to take it off course, threatening to split them, that the difference, there was such a huge dichotomy, there's such a huge difference between what the Corinthians saw and what Paul saw. And it's because Paul, using spiritual discernment, was able to see what was happening below the surface, was able to see what was happening spiritually, what was happening in their lives to take them off course. You know, and spiritual discernment helps us to see spiritual things. You know, think of that verse in Ephesians. It says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in heavenly heavenly places. When you have spiritual discernment, you don't make surface judgments, but you say, you know what? In this challenge that I'm facing, in this disunity that I see, in this struggle that I see this person walking through, I understand that there's a battle that's happening spiritually. There's a battle for their soul. There's a battle for the direction of their life that the enemy would want to take them off course. And I'm not going to look at this from a simplistic view, but I'm going to look at this and I'm going to say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want to use me? How do you want me to pray? When we have spiritual discernment, we can see that there are things going on the surface. Paul sees this disunity. He sees the dysfunction and he doesn't go, wow, man, the Corinthians, man, they just having a rough day, I guess, man. They just don't like my personality. You know, they just don't, you know, those surface things. But he says, you know what? I see what's behind this. There's an enemy that wants to get this church off course from the purposes that God has for them. You know, in your life, there's an enemy that wants to get you off course from the purposes God has for you. That the struggles that you're walking through, the challenges that you're facing, I want to encourage you not to look at those with a simple view that says, man, it just seems like it's hard right now, just going through a rough season. But that the enemy wants to use things in your life to get you off track, to discourage you, to pull you off course from the purposes that God has for you. You know, as I was putting together this message, I was thinking about the Corinthian church. And, you know, you just think of the potential of that church. That Paul, he's the Apostle Paul, the founding pastor. This guy wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, he's just amazing guy. He is the founding pastor of this church. And not only that, but this church is one of the first churches in the birth stages of the early church. What potential they have to make a difference for the kingdom of God, to bless people's lives. This is an affluent area. These people have money, and they're at the beginning stages. They're on the ground floor, and God could use them to shape and change the world for Christ. Such purpose, such potential. And if they don't see the deceit that the enemy would like to bring in, if they don't have a guarded heart, if they don't have spiritual discernment, it threatens them to get off course from the potential that God has for them. You know, in your life, God has a purpose for you, that God has a plan for you, that God has something big for you to do, that you're not designed just to sit on the bench of life spiritually, but God has a plan for you to get in the game, people's lives for you to change, people for you to influence, a church to be built by you. And if you don't operate in spiritual discernment, if you don't say, you know what, I'm going to see with spiritual eyes to do spiritual things, you can get off course. The enemy can begin to pull you off course with distraction, with discouragement, with a disguise to use to pull you off course. What is it that's pulling you off course? What do you see? Are you seeing a spiritual battle? Do you recognize what God would want to use you to do? Or are you just looking at life simplistically? Paul's saying, don't do that. That there's an enemy that wants to get you off course. But there's a God who wants to do something great with you. I think of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. They wind up where they never intended to be. They wind up in a ditch. But when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. People can't see what God is doing. If people don't live their lives with spiritual discernment, they stumble all over themselves. Maybe today, you're like, man, I remember a time when God was working in my life. I remember a time when I felt like God was just pouring vision in my heart. I remember a time when I felt like God could use me. And you've allowed voices in your world and things to get you off track. You accepted things about who you are, and it's taken you off track from what God has intended for you. And if you were being honest this morning, you're like, man, I just seems like I'm stumbling all over myself. But the Holy Spirit's coming to you today, speaking to you and saying, you know what? I still have a plan for you. I still have a purpose for you. And if you attend to what I reveal, if you put the word of God in your life, if you trust me that I want to do something great with you, I'm going to bless you. if you live your life out of a spiritual discernment and don't allow the enemy to feed that negativity into you, don't allow the enemy to get you off course, don't allow the enemy to position you in places in life that will get you off the purposes of God, then I'm going to bless you. But start putting the word of God in your life. Start seeing things as I see them. Start valuing the things that are spiritually valuable, and you're going to watch me use you in a way that you never imagined, a way you never thought was possible. God wants to use you today. God wants to bless you today. God wants to encourage you today. What an awesome, awesome thought. But what we allow, what you value, what you see, are you operating out of a spiritual discernment to keep the enemy from getting you off course? If we do that, God's going to move us into glory to glory, blessing after blessing. Amen. Amen. Man, let's pray together.